Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the recorded morning service for Pentecost, Sunday, the 23rd of May, from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship on this Pentecost Sunday. Come, Holy Spirit. Come as the robin in the morning, awakening our hearts with your song. Come as the blackbird at noontime, gladdening your world with joy. Come as the dove at evening, bringing blessing and peace. Come to us as we come to worship, that we may sing to the Creator, seek healing for the wounds of creation, and find peace. Our opening hymn, O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us.
O Breath of Life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O Breath of Life, come cleanse me. Church to meet this hour. O wind of God, come bend us, break us, till humbly we confess our need. Then in thy tenderness we restore for this we plead. O breath of love, come breathe within us, renewing thought and will and heart. Come, love of Christ, afresh to Church in every part. Amen.
Let us pray. You come like a dove, anointing God, in every time, in every place, in every language and way of communicating, announcing through your Spirit that we are your beloved. You come like a whirlwind, Spirit's brother, justice doing cartwheels before you, grace tumbling over grace, hope gusting open the windows of our shattered hearts. You come first as a whisper, and then a mighty shout, wind of God, a waterfall of peace and hope, cascading down into a pool where we can swim forever. You come, God in community, wind, flame, voice, joy, life for all you call your children. Your Spirit moves over the waters, gracious God, but we prefer to splash in the puddles of temptation. You would breathe life into us in every moment, but we hold our breath until we turn blue, wanting to get our way. You would give us the words to bring hope to the despairing, to offer healing to the broken, and to share hope in the places of anger and violence. But we turn them into accusations towards those around us. In your mercy, forgive us, God of gusty grace. May your Spirit sing in our hearts, so we may invite others to dance in joy with us. May your spirit be the still, small voice which silences the shouts of fear and worry all around us. May your spirit sweep us off our feet and into the arms of Jesus Christ, our brother, our saviour, our companion. Listen, it is not an old story, but ours. It may not happen with a mighty wind, but with a soft whisper. But this is our Pentecost. This is our reminder that God forgives us and fills us with all things new. Thanks be to God. God gives us new hope in endless days of despair, new joy in never-ending moments of grief, and new life when we seem to have lost even the simple ability to breathe, this day and in all the days to come. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our churches and all Christians will celebrate on this special day. We don't celebrate quite as we do at Christmas and Easter, when we remember Christ's birth and his resurrection following the crucifixion. This special day is called Pentecost. It follows 50 days after Easter and occurs on what was originally the Jewish harvest holiday, or Shavuot, which followed 50 days after the Passover. On this day, the first fruits of the harvest were presented, and the covenant with God at Mount Sinai was remembered and renewed. So this was a special time for all the Jews, and there were many visitors in Jerusalem to celebrate Shavuot, also known as the Festival of Weeks. I think you'll all agree, especially the youngest among you, that a birthday means that we should all celebrate with all the items which go with birthdays: presents, banners, balloons, cakes, candles, cards, and much more. This is not so easy for us today when so many of our congregations are in their homes listening to the service or watching it on YouTube. Why a birthday today? On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus promised his disciples that God would send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit would teach them all things and remind them of everything connected to Jesus' ministry. Before Jesus finally left the disciples at his ascension, he reminded them they would receive this present of the Holy Spirit, who would help them share the good news of Jesus. Later, the disciples returned to Jerusalem, to where they were staying, and with Jesus' mother Mary, his brothers and the other women, they joined together in prayer. Some days later, still in a room together while waiting patiently, not at all sure about what might happen, there was a big sound like a rushing wind. Then tongues of fire appeared above all their heads. They were special fires that didn't burn up or catch the hair or clothes in flames, but showed that the Holy Spirit was present. Then another amazing thing happened. The disciples started speaking in other languages. The people visiting Jerusalem spoke a lot of languages, and the disciples suddenly found that they were able to communicate automatically in these other languages and tell everyone present about Jesus. As a result, many people decided to become followers of Jesus. Later on, speaking in other languages was considered to be a symbol of the church expanding beyond its Jewish roots, initially into Samaria and then to the Gentiles, and through them to the whole world in the centuries after Jesus had lived among his people. And the disciples now became transformed, became a unified body, and started to eagerly share the story of Jesus. Some people criticized them, but Peter assured everyone that they weren't drunk or crazy. They were full of God's love. And with that, they all continued talking about Jesus and all the amazing things he had done. Many people came to believe, and after that, the disciples began meeting together regularly. They shared everything with other believers and continued meeting and sharing and caring for each other. This was the start of the church we have today. It was the start of the amazing way that God allows us to serve and love each other. That is truly exciting. Once we are on fire and have received the light of Jesus, we can take that to other people and light up their lives as well. God wants you to share his story and his love with the whole world. It only takes a spark or a single candle to get others going. I'm encouraging all of you to celebrate this special occasion, but for those of you here in St. Andrew's today, and for those of you viewing this service on YouTube, you will see red candles in the church for us to remember the fire. The children have been given pinwheels as a reminder of the mighty wind at Pentecost. Let's pray. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your church. Let us give thanks for your worldwide family. Help us to share your love and tell others about Jesus. Thank you, God, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. To everyone, happy birthday to you all. You are the Church of Jesus. Let's celebrate today and every day with joy in our hearts.
Our second hymn. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove.
The reading is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was a valley of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life.' I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. Open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." May the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word.
A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Today's readings are diverse and vivid. They describe the power of God to bring death from life and courageous action from paralysing fear. We make a mistake when we celebrate Pentecost as the time when the Spirit came into being or was experienced for the first time. It's simply not the case. Let's begin with our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones. It's really hard to imagine the plight of the Israelites in the years nearly 600 years before the birth of Christ. Except for the poorest among them, they had been deported from their homes. They had lost everything, their houses, their children, their families, their faith, their temple, their God, their homeland, their culture, their songs, their story. How could they sing their songs in a foreign land? They sat down by the rivers of Babylon and wept. The people felt their life as a nation was over. Since their identity and their faith were tied to their land, they felt abandoned by God, or that God had been defeated by a more powerful deity and that there was no future. They were bitter, full of hatred and the lust for revenge. Even if they could go home, everything they cherished was gone. They might as well be dead. They were nothing but dry bones. No life, no breath, no hope. And then the prophet Ezekiel had a vision. It's actually a frightening vision. Maybe that's why the song Dem Bones, written by James Weldon Johnson, sticks in our heads so well. You remember the joyful rhythm of the words, toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the heel bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the shin bone. This is so much easier to contemplate than the actual vision Ezekiel encounters by the power of the Spirit. He is taken by the Spirit and transported to this valley of dry bones. Spread out before him is a battlefield scattered with the bones of the fallen. They have lain so long that they are dried up, picked bare of flesh and sinew by carrion-eating birds, dried in the blazing sun of that valley. Unlike some generations, when we hear this passage from Ezekiel, we don't really have to imagine a field filled with bones. Most of us have lived long enough to see news coverage of several genocides. In the 70s it was Cambodia, and in the 90s it was Rwanda. We have seen the pictures of the hundreds of skulls, of the piles of other bones, of the mass graves, and we wonder how humans can be so cruel, even in a war. If these were the remains of our relatives, we might be tempted to despair as Ezekiel was when he contemplated the future of his people, the descendants of Abraham and Sarah. There may not have been an actual abandoned battlefield where the dead were never buried. But the passage is a powerful testimony to their despair. Desolation. Absolute desolation. Can these bones live? Of course they can't. They are dead. It is a bitter, wretched scene. There is no hope, no flesh and blood, no breath, no life. But Ezekiel does not say this. Ezekiel simply says, O Lord, you know. God does indeed know that these bones can live. Ezekiel obeys God and speaks to the bones, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The bones come together, but there is still no life. They are bodies now, not just bones, but they are dead. There is no breath in them. Again, Ezekiel does as God commands, calling the breath from the four winds. The spirit breathes and the bones live. The breath of God blows into the valley and there is life. And they lived and stood on their feet. It's the battle scene run in reverse. The bodies of the slain regaining their sinew, their lungs filling with air. They rise from the dust and live. A vast multitude. And then we have our familiar reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Familiar because we have it every year on this Sunday. This passage is actually a great day for multiculturalism. We are told that in the audience that Peter appealed to, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And then we get a long list of countries of origin. Then in the midst of that list, the writer quietly interjects a notion that some of these people were Jews and others were proselytes, that is, people coming out of a variety of faith backgrounds who were thinking, studying, and open to the idea of conversion from their old religion or none at all to the new faith that Peter was offering. An extraordinarily diverse mix of people, many of whom prior to this day, in a society that maintained rigid social boundaries between races and religions, would never have considered coming together in any kind of religious or social familiarity. Here, we are reminded that from its very beginning, the idea of church has been that of a multicultural, ethnically diverse community of all God's people gathered not just as one, but growing into an intimate community of one, marked by equality and respect. And we shouldn't miss the enormous significance that within days or weeks of this community's formation, Luke portrays these people as sharing economic resources and breaking every taboo of their day by actually eating together. Goodness knows what they ate. I'd have loved to be there. The range of cuisine at the first church's bring and share supper must have been awesome. But culinary delights aside, here were people who in any other context in their society would never be together, suddenly transcending such racial bias to live as one. Here is an ideal that today's church strains to emulate. And notice something else about this diverse community of new Christians. A few weeks back we heard of Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. The total time that Philip spent with the Ethiopian couldn't have been more than a few hours. And then, based on such minimal instruction in the faith and dogma of the emerging church, the Ethiopian went home and ended up establishing the Christian faith in Africa. Inevitably, and as at that time the only Christian in Africa, we can imagine the church that this man built would be a very African church. African ways of organizing, African ideas about authority and institutional structures and governance, African mythology and religious practice. The cultural mores of his time and place were the stuff out of which the faith in Africa would take form. And that was okay by Philip. Philip didn't insist that the Ethiopians stay around and be enculturated or indoctrinated according to the emerging thought patterns and ways of his own Jewish, Roman, culturally influenced faith. And the same with today's account. Some of the 3,000 people the disciples baptized were visitors to Jerusalem, and very soon after their baptism we have to imagine that they went home, where their faith development and living would be influenced more by their home culture than by any continuing link to the Jerusalem or the new Christian church community there. And again, that was okay with the disciples, who apparently had every confidence that the Holy Spirit working in these people in many and diverse cultures, giving birth to churches of all kinds of shapes and configurations with diverse liturgies and emerging practices, would lead them to authentic and exciting religious life. If only such confidence had survived in the history of the Christian church, how much richer would we be today? Instead, beginning in later New Testament times, and continuing on for years and years, reaching its peak in the time of Emperor Constantine, what we see in the life, discipline, and evangelism of the later church is an attempt by the Christian Jewish Romanized Church and its successors to standardize, codify, and centralize the faith, dogma, and liturgy in ways that undermine the potential diversity of the community we are today. These two accounts, from two very different times, each speak to the power of God to bring about what human efforts alone could never do. Pentecost is a story about the power of God to bring about transformation and new life. Pentecost is a story of a promise fulfilled. In preparing the followers for his departure, Jesus has promised that the people would receive an advocate, the Comforter. Pentecost is a story wrapped in a mystery. It is the story of a time when the presence of God was felt in wind and fire, which are common biblical metaphors for the presence and power of God. As common as they are in the biblical story, when they happen, they always have an element of awe, mystery, and fear. These occurrences are hard to nail down, hard to describe, hard to understand, and impossible to control. As I said in my weekly letter, in the Celtic Christian tradition, the Holy Spirit is represented by a bird. But it is not the peaceful and serene dove like that landing on Jesus at his baptism. The Celtic people chose the wild goose. The wild goose spoke to those ancient Celtic Christians because wild geese aren't controllable. You can't restrain a wild goose and bend it to your will. They're raucous and loud. Unlike the sweet and calming cooing of a dove, a goose's honk is strong, challenging, strident and unnerving, and just a bit scary. In much the same way, the Spirit of God can be compelling, demanding and unsettling. Think about the story of Pentecost and the impression the disciples made on the crowd. People thought they were drunk and disorderly. The Holy Spirit's activity amongst those first disciples was powerful stuff. It's one thing for a gentle dove to descend peacefully on Jesus, but it's something altogether different when the Spirit descends like a wild, noisy goose. Pentecost Spirit is a honking spirit, and the Spirit honks for us to declare or honk out loud the great things God is doing. When the wild goose of the Spirit rests upon a person, they are often compelled to become noisy, passionate, and demonstrative themselves. The disciples and other followers of Jesus had just been through a very trying time. Their leader had been executed by the state, and they would have been right to fear for their own lives. They knew that somehow the power of God had raised him from death, but there was still something missing. If they were to be true disciples, if they were to truly proclaim the good news of this Jesus, they had to know, beyond a shadow of doubt, that God was with them and that God supported and strengthened them. They had a reason to hope and a reason to live. Suddenly, in some mysterious way, the power of God, described as a great rushing wind, was experienced in a way that most had never felt before. It was the same presence that had called Noah to save his family, that same voice that gave Moses the law, the same power that had given Ezekiel the vision of hope. And now this power was bringing to birth the group that we call the church. They went out into the streets and proclaimed the good news of God. There were people from many nations gathered in the city at that time, and each of these people was able to understand the words as if they were spoken in their own language. So great was their enthusiasm that they were accused of being drunk. Do we believe the Spirit can give us that enthusiasm? Thanks be to God. Our next hymn Come down, O love divine, seek out this soul of mine.
And now our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. God of love, we pray for the poor. As COVID-19 continues to impact our world, we pray for those around the globe who don't have the resources of the richer nations. For those countries struggling to afford vaccinations and basic health care. We think in particular of people in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Nepal. May those who have the power to bring relief to others use their influence to ensure help and vaccines are directed to the people who need it most. May conversations and negotiations be filled with generosity and concern for the poor and powerless. May those who have very little in this world be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. God of love, we pray for those who mourn. With battles continuing to rage in the Middle East and the death toll rising, we pray for everyone who has lost friends and loved ones. It's difficult to imagine how scared people must be living with bombs and violence. We pray for those caught in the middle of the chaos. Please bring an end to this war. We are also aware of rising tensions in our own communities as violence escalates between Israel and Gaza. We pray for wisdom for community leaders trying to bring calm. May they know the right words to use and be able to mediate problems with insight and skill. May those who live with violence and pain be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. God of love, we pray for those who hunger and thirst. Many people in our country have really suffered during this pandemic. As venues open and life resembles something more normal, we are aware that not everyone is able to feel hope for the future. Help us to continue to reach out to those who are hungry. Thank you for the network of food banks, so many operating out of churches across the land. We pray that volunteers would have renewed energy. We pray that the food donations would continue to flow. and we pray that those needing work would find jobs. May those who need hope be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. God of love, we pray for the poor in spirit. With so many people experiencing mental health issues, we think of those we know who are struggling. We bring to mind family members, friends, neighbours, and people in our congregations. Help us to be compassionate listeners and good friends to people who need us. We also think of the steep rise in teenage anxiety and issues such as anorexia. Please help families trying to deal with young people who are suffering. Give the agencies and professionals working in mental health good judgment as they work with their patients. May those who face the darkness be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. God of love, we pray for the peacemakers. On this Pentecost Sunday, thank you for the work of your Spirit, bringing hope, joy, and peace to us and to your world. On this Pentecost Sunday, renew us in our faith, remind us of the outpouring of your Spirit, and help us to be the agents of hope, joy, and peace in our world. May those who sow peace in our neighbourhoods be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our closing hymn. Gracious Spirit, Holy Ghost, taught by thee we covet most of thy gifts at Pentecost. Holy, heavenly love. Go now, surrounded by love, and led by the promises of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen.